Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we continue our expository study of the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians in chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14. We've titled this study, The Holy Spirit of Promise. We encourage you to follow along with us, and if you've missed any of the previous studies in Ephesians, simply go to BBFOhio.com and you will see the YouTube playlist and the sermon audio link to the entire series where you can watch or listen to all of our studies in Ephesians. You will also find our continuing study of the book of Revelation and past studies of the Gospel of Mark and the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, as well as others. In addition, we want to remind you about BBFOhioRadio.com, which is our 24/7 internet radio station. And we want to thank those of you who share those links and tell your loved ones about this free resource that is available all day, every day at BBFOhioRadio.com as well as BBFOhio.com. And a big thank you to all of you who send your financial support to help us with this ministry. We've never asked for money, but the Holy Spirit has led a good number of you to help us, and we are very thankful for your gifts as well as your prayers. If you would like to contact us with comments, questions, or prayer requests, you can send your email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. That's 3 B's, fohio@yahoo.com. Or send letters to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Now, we begin part one of our two-part study titled, The Holy Spirit of Promise, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Speaking in tongues and all the crazy stuff like that. We're going to learn otherwise.
Amen.
Let's go ahead and read, beginning verse 13, we'll read two verses, 13 and 14. Read with me. In whom he also trusted, after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that he believed, he was filled with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Our salvation does not depend on our works. Can you say amen?
Amen.
If that isn't clear, we need to talk.
And it depends on our response to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what it depends on. That's why it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Calvinists and Arminians get this wrong.
Yeah.
And I want to make this clear again. We are not Calvinists. We are not Arminian.
Amen.
And a lot of people say, oh, you Arminians, because we aren't Calvinists. They just automatically call you an Arminian. We're not. We're just Bible believers. And they both get this wrong. The Calvinist error is to exaggerate the sinful condition. We teach total depravity. And they will sometimes use that phrase, total depravity, but they teach total inability. They teach that being dead in sins is the same as a corpse, a body that's laying there dead. And that's not how God pictures our spiritual death. Spiritual death is to be lost in sin and separated from God. It's not cessation. See, death, when that coroner one of these days, if the Lord tarries, is going to sign your death certificate. And that signature on that death certificate is saying that you have ceased to live bodily. It's a cessation. That's not the way spiritual death is pictured in the Bible. Spiritual death is the very fact of your separation from God by your sin. And the fact that you are in completely lost condition. And so the Calvinists go beyond that and they say that you have to actually be brought to life in order to be saved. See, that's why it says they teach that the sinner is arrested. That's the irresistible grace. And regenerated. That's unconditional election. And only then is made to believe against his will in the gospel. Now, the Calvinists they love to dance. And verbally, they dance all the time when they preach. They don't like to come right out and say what they believe. That's a mark of a cult.
Amen.
Cults never like to just come out and say what they believe. You have a Mormon come up to your door and you say, oh yeah, I've heard about your religion. Don't you believe in a God on the planet Kolob? And he created Lucifer and Jesus and their spirit brothers. And they both had an idea on how to save all these souls on earth, which, by the way, are souls that somehow the God on Kolob and his many celestial wives, he's polygamous, and he's been having celestial sex and giving birth to all of us, and then he sends us to earth so that we can become saved by following the teachings of the Mormon Church and going through the temple rites. And then if a man does all that and he does what he's supposed to, he then also can become a god and have his own planet. You know how Mormons respond? That's how they respond. And your name goes in a little book. Do not go there. That's the mark of a cult. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses come up to your door and you're like, you know, yeah, you believe Jesus is actually Michael the Archangel. He became Jesus for a while, now he's Michael again, right? And you believe that God speaks to a committee in Brooklyn and that... I'm not making it up. And that all that committee hears from angels. Angels actually communicate God's word to them and they put it in magazines. Yeah. And that Jehovah's Witnesses. And in order to be saved, you have to follow all their teachings. And then you're resurrected if you die first. Or if you're alive, you just kind of get to go into that tribulation period. And if you endure to the end and survive, it's like survival of the fittest. Then you'll go to a sort of heaven unless you're one of the 144,000, which the Bible says are 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, but God told that committee in Brooklyn that it's actually Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah. See? And you tell them, and I believe Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. And I believe Jesus died on the cross and paid the full price for my sin, was buried and rose again. He ascended to heaven, promising to come back and receive me unto himself, that where he is, I can be also. And I believe I'm saved by believing that alone.
Amen.
And the Jehovah's Witnesses. And your name goes in a book. Do not go there. Same thing happens with the Calvinists. Now, I want to tell you my experience with Calvinism. I am out on the streets preaching, and they will come up and interrupt me and want to give me books and to pull me out of my error. Because you see, to them, look at that fool out there preaching the gospel. Doesn't he know the elect are the elect, and they're going to be saved, they're going to be saved. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. That's in their hymn book. Do you know that? That's not actually. It ought to be. It ought to be in the Calvinist hymn book because that's what they believe. That's why if you see a Calvinist out preaching the gospel and or trying to win the lost, he's a confused soul. And that's what the Calvinist leaders will think and say about him. Well, he's just immature, he's a little babe in Christ. Give him a few years. Yeah, you'll kill him. Give him a few years, you'll kill him. And they believe that is because this is how you're saved, not by the gospel. No one's saved by hearing the gospel. When you're a dead man, you can't hear it. See? Because their heresy begets heresy. Error begets error. And because they have a false definition of spiritual death, and then they solve it with all this nonsense that's just made up total crap that came from Augustine, by the way. Calvin was basically a plagiarist, and he got it all from Augustine, a man who trusted in Mother Church and baptism for his salvation, as I was talking to Brother Aaron just a little while ago. You get all your false doctrine from a guy with a false testimony of salvation, you're going to be in trouble. And that's what Calvinism is. And so they come up with this thing about how the power, the gospel has no power unless you've first been arrested and then had been regenerated. Therefore, against your will, God causes you to believe when you hear the gospel. The gospel itself is powerless in Calvinism. Amen. Amen. Now, the Arminian error is to deny our sinful nature. They literally come right out. It's almost crazy to hear them say it. They deny that all of us as human beings are born in sin. And they say that you have a divine spark within you. And that you have basically goodness within you. And that you can just, because of that divine spark, seek God. And you'll hear it in their testimony. I'm so glad that one day I believed that I knew I needed to be saved, and I sought after God and found Him. That's how you'll hear it in their testimonies. Sinners come to God apart from any necessary work of God. Now, the truth is, in between there, it's called the Bible. You got the Calvinists over here, Arminians over here, and then you got the Bible. That's what we'll stick with. Both of these falsely teach as well that assurance of salvation hinges on your enduring unto the end. Because most of them are non-dispensational. And if they are, they do claim to be dispensational, they don't apply it when it comes to salvation. And so they ignore context when it comes to salvation. But if you talk to a Calvinist, if he says that he's sure of his salvation, ask him, well, then you're saying you know for sure that you're going to persevere unto the end? Because the P in TULIP says, and a lot of people have been falsely, they've been misled, it's not preservation of the saints. It's perseverance of the saints. And if you're a Calvinist, you don't know for sure you're elect until the day you die and you feel like you've endured to the end. That's Calvinism. The Arminian is just flat out, nope, you better get to work, brother. You got to endure to the end or you're going to burn in hell. That's how they preach it. Don't tell me that you can sin and still go to heaven. And those guys are the ones you find in bed with some other woman other than the wives a lot of times. I'm telling you. Because when you have a false gospel, you've got a false spirit. You're a liar. And you'll lie up here, you stand up in the pulpit and just lie to people. And pretend you're some holy man who doesn't sin. I don't sin. I'm glad God delivered me from sin. Well, yeah, He's delivered us from the effects of sin. And He's given us the power to overcome, but all of us fail constantly. Amen. That's Bible truth. Mm-hmm. If any man says he has no sin, he's a liar. Amen. All that's heresy. Amen. And you had better take that seriously, I'm going to tell you, we should have three times as many people in the seats this morning than we have here today. And I'll tell you why they're not here. And most of them are in churches. They're in apostate churches. And the reason they're in those churches is because they didn't take that seriously. And if you don't take it seriously, you're off guard, and that's who Satan's looking for. He's looking for Christians who are off guard. And he will just pluck you and take you, and you'll end up anywhere. I've told the stories of people who were Sunday school teachers in Bible-believing churches, and now they're into witchcraft. One lady's a medium. I told you about that a few weeks ago. Calling up the dead spirits and all this stuff. That's where you'll go. The Bible says, take heed lest you fall. Why? Because you better understand, you're human. You're not superhuman. Just because you're saved, that Satan's not done with you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to keep you from being a witness. He wants to put you into doctrinal error. He wants to destroy other people through you. You can become an instrument for Satan to destroy if you do not take that seriously right there. Heresy. We do not seek God. I don't care what you think. You never sought after God. God draws all men unto Himself. Amen. See how that's in the middle? Amen. All men, the Arminians say all men go to God because they've got some inherent divine spark. And Calvinism says that nobody seeks God, which is true. No one seeks God. But it's because God draws every man. That's what it says in John 12:32. Read that with me. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now, you want to hear how wicked Calvinism is? They pervert and change the Bible. They will tell you that the all men isn't talking about the elect. Yeah. They will come right out and say that. They are changing the Bible to teach their doctrine. God will not draw really all men. What He'll draw is all the elect. That's how they do it. We are not forced to believe the gospel. The gospel enables lost sinners to believe and be saved if they so choose. You see that? Not everybody's going to be saved. And that's a popular teaching now among a lot of people. Sean was talking about Rob Bell. You know, one of these teachers that teach everybody's going to heaven. No. Romans 1:16 says this. Go ahead and read it with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That verse says that you don't need to be arrested, you don't have to be regenerated in order to believe the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation itself. The gospel is the power. Amen. And they have totally destroyed that doctrine with their Calvinistic tulip nonsense. I'm allergic to tulips. But it's salvation to everyone that what?
Believeth.
You see, we preach the gospel to everybody, knowing that anybody can be saved, but only those who believe will be saved.
Right.
Look how simple God made it. What do you get? You get Calvinists, Arminians, and all this religious nonsense that just junks it up and makes it difficult. That's the work of the devil. Jesus, through Paul, said that he was concerned that they would be drawn away from the simplicity which is in Christ.
Amen.
After that, the Bible says we are sealed.
Amen.
We don't have to endure to the end before knowing that we are saved.
Amen.
Again, should you endure to the end? Yeah. But you know how you're going to do it? You're going to do it through the power of God.
Amen.
So we'll endure to the end if we rely on God and allow God to continue to build us and grow us and use us. Yes, you will endure to the end. Not to be saved, but because you are saved.
Amen.
Ephesians, again, 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's a big word right there. All six letters of it. Sealed. Big word. Perseverance of the saints is heresy. Preservation of the saints is truth. You are kept by the power of God through faith. You don't keep yourself through faith. You are kept through faith. You see the difference? Why? The faith doesn't come from you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Again, one of the things, if I'm ever accused of browbeating, I want it to be about this one subject, and that is getting you in that book.
Amen.
Because if you're going to endure, and if you're going to be used of God, if you're going to have a joyful Christian life and so forth, it all comes and hinges on you being in that book.
Amen.
Faith doesn't come from you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
I've met Christians who think, oh, I'm saved, and I listen to good music, and I have a good church, and I'm going to be okay.
Hmm.
And they're not in the Word, and give them time, they fall flat on their face.
Yeah, every
time. Every time. We have a no-so salvation. How many of you have ever heard that before?
Amen.
You haven't been listening to me, because I say it all the time. We have a no-so salvation. Now, I'm going to tell you, I change that. Every once in a while, I change things. It's 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
Does it say you can know? Does that even suggest that you have to persevere in order to know?
No.
Does it suggest you have to endure to the end in order to know?
No.
Again, should you endure to the end? Yes. And will you if you trust the Lord and rely on Him and stay in His Word? Yes. But you know right now. Now, I've told you this before. They did surveys over in England of Calvinist preachers over there. And something like 75% of the retired age preachers had no assurance of salvation. This was in a personal, private polling questionnaire. And they admitted, because of the tulip and because of the pea in tulip, even in their elderly years after having served the Lord, they still honestly doubted their being elect. Bad theology is just bad for you.
Amen.
Bad stuff. After that, you believe you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What is this seal? Most believers reading this through the centuries would think of a seal on a document, kind of like this thing here. Right there. This was not to be broken until the day of redemption. So it's like your salvation is documented with a seal, and then on the day of redemption is when that seal is broken and you're glorified. It's kind of the picture that people have in their mind.
Now,
yes, I'm sorry, yes. It says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, if God says that, how can you teach that you can be unsealed and lose your salvation? Once you're sealed, always sealed. Amen?
Amen.
Unto the day of redemption, that's when He pops the seal.
Hallelujah.
Now, some people think of this seal like something of being stored in a jar. We're sealed safely, waiting for the Lord. How many of you have heard that analogy? Being like you're in a jar, kind of like that?
Yeah, right.
Eyes on them like Larry.
Yeah, like Larry the cucumber. Would you eat those pickles, by the way? I would. I'd feel bad eating those. I'd be like, oh, they're so cute. I think I like the document idea better. I like the idea that, like, legally, we're justified, we're saved, so there's a seal on that, and then on the day of redemption, pop, and we're glorified. That's how I like to think of it. I mean, you go right ahead and think of yourself as a pickle if you want to. But it's important to note that when you get the Holy Ghost, you don't get it. How many of you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've worked with people, and they're like, "Oh, I got the Holy Ghost. I got it." You know, that kind of thing. If you've been from the Pentecostal, Charismatic, Apostolic, you hear that. You get Him.
Amen.
I think it's transformative. Well, of course it is. The Bible, when you get the truth of the Bible, it's transformative.
Amen.
And it's transformative when you grasp that is the Holy Spirit is personal. He's referred to as Him. He comes within when you're saved. Jesus said in John 16:13, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He..." Let's keep counting here. "Howbeit when He," number one, and then the Spirit of God, that's the second reference to Him, the Spirit of truth, "is come, He," number three, "will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself," number five, "but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Think of this. One time He's called by a name or title, Spirit of Truth, and seven times He's called He. So you have the one identifying term, Spirit of Truth, seven times, number of completion, perfection, He. And then you have a total of eight, which is the number of fruitfulness or eternal or eternity. I mean, that's some book, isn't it? And He lives in you.
Amen.
I remember when I first got a hold of that, because I just heard bad teaching for so long. Now I'm walking around realizing, you know, when I walk out of the church building, I'm taking Jesus with me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because a lot of people have got this thing where I'm outside of church, I'm kind of outside of the temple sanctuary. How many of you heard the place where you called the sanctuary?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the real holiness people. Right? And that's why they put that in a plush carpet. And they would drop dead of a heart attack if they seen the way we do church. They're like, coffee?
Yeah.
Tea?
Hallelujah.
A dog? Blasphemy! You know? It's because they think of it as a sanctuary. The temple, you know. That's not what... You are the temple. The Holy
Amen.
He is in you. The Holy Spirit in you. Awesome. If you're saved.
Amen.
Yes. If you're saved.
Definitely.
"But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." I hope we don't have any of those here today who don't know for sure you have the Holy Spirit in you. You ought to know it, because once you get saved, you do experience Jesus. You don't base anything on experience, but you don't deny it either. See, the charismatics got it wrong, because they want to base everything on the Spirit. I've been to so-called Bible studies with charismatics years ago. It was storytelling time. They didn't even want to study the Bible. They just want to talk about, "Oh, you should see what the Lord did for me this week." And everybody wants to one-up each other. Every story gets a little more wild, you know. And it's like, "Oh, glory to God." And everybody's saying, "Oh, glory to God." And they're thinking, "Oh, I've got to come up with a better story." You know, because they got to one-up everybody. That's not what it's about. It's about you experiencing life in the Spirit, where the Spirit of God in you works in you. And too many Christians just don't know what that is.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.